The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition. Hello, friends, and welcome to a Monday edition of Daily Pop. I am Carissa here with Justin and Melanie, and we have a giant show on tap for you today. Kylie Jenner is selling her majority stake in Kylie Cosmetics. Is this a good or a bad idea? Then we're hanging with the housewives at BravoCon. Who are the best and worst additions to the franchise? And Prince Andrew's new interview about Jeffrey Epstein. Was this idea a total mistake? All that and more. Gosh. So let's start. Kylie Jenner just got $600 million richer, and she did it by selling a majority stake in Kylie Cosmetics to the huge cosmetics company Coty. So Coty owns brands like CoverGirl, Balenciaga, and now it owns 51% of Kylie's company. The brand will be renamed to Kylie Beauty, and Kylie is still going to stay on as the brand's public face. Now, Kylie sounds very excited about this. She told us, "This partnership will allow me and my team to stay focused on the creation and development of each product while building the brand into an international beauty powerhouse." Wow. So what do you guys think about this idea? Good, bad?
I think it's fantastic. How old is she now?
22?
22. And she's just sold half of her company that she started as a teenager for $600 million. That is pretty amazing, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's going to become bigger. And it means that she can just focus on coming up with whatever she, you know, like doing the inspirational stuff behind it, conceptualizing it.
I was still surprised she would go 51%. I thought she would have still maintained that control.
No, because any company that's going to buy and spend that amount of money does not want to then not be able to do what they're going to do with that brand and take it. And they have like tons of experience, that company, right? This is going to be a much bigger brand. And she can also then spend some of her time doing the other things that she cares about.
Yeah.
Starting another company and making it into another billion-dollar profitable house.
Yeah. I mean, listen, anytime someone gives you $600 million, it's a good thing. Because you can take that money and let it seed your next idea and the one idea after that without having to get investors. The only downside of this, which can be avoided, is a lot of the people like Kylie Cosmetics because it's her. And sometimes when a bigger company comes in, it kind of sort of loses its identity, and a lot of people may run from that if it goes there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll let it go there. Because I just think she puts her personal stamp on every single product that she has.
Well, they would be silly to change that because that's exactly why it's become the success that it has. But I also do understand, too, you know, once you're trying to go international, I mean, she's already built this, you know, to be this huge, massive company. She's done so much. And now it's like, do I really want to work? Like, not that she doesn't want to work, but I mean,
to work on the stuff that you're, like, she's
not
so
passionate
good at conceptualizing
about. Yeah,
and
she
the
likes to
part
sell
it
and do the marketing. And she likes to come up with the fun colors and do the collaborations with her sisters. Like, that's the stuff where, you know, the business starts
from. But what makes her a good business person is that she knows her shortcomings. She knows, as well as Chris knows, yo, we can't take this to where we need to take it. Let's go ahead and partner with this company and let somebody else do the footwork because we're you're talking about a 22-year-old girl right now who probably wants to prioritize being a mom and wanting to be home for Stormy's big moments.
Yeah.
So I think for her, this was the strongest, most strategic business move ever. But I have a feeling that there's something else cooking on the back burner.
Like another company?
Another company. Because to go out and put yourself out there and say, yo, we're looking for someone to buy this, 9 times out of 10, Chris and Kylie have something else cooking up that they're going to use that seed money to start.
Don't they exhaust you sometimes? Like, I just look at them and how much they do, and I think, don't you want to sleep ever? Like, or just have, like, a lazy day on the couch? No?
She's sleeping.
Okay. The first ever BravoCon has come to a close. All of the biggest Bravo stars were there, including some of the ladies from The Real Housewives of OC. Now, we asked Tamra, who was the best recent addition to their show? And that set off a whole argument with Vicky. And so we're going to now move the conversation to us. Do you guys have, like, a favorite housewife that has joined the franchise, or and one that maybe you thought should have never joined the franchises?
I love a Kenya Moore moment. I feel like Kenya Moore came in at the perfect time, where she came in and she kind of sort of like whipped it all back up. Like, she took all the old drama, stirred it up, and served it back to us.
Yeah.
So for me, Kenya Moore was one of the best additions.
So I'm going to talk about, and Justin's going to tell me off for saying this, but Lisa Vanderpump, I'm sad that she's not there anymore. Mm. And that's somebody that I would want to come back in, because whether you liked her or you didn't like her, she could be very polarizing, and she could be, she was somebody who, like, I just found her very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about that.
I'm going to miss Lisa. I am. Okay, I have my
answer. Guys. I bumped into her in the corridor here maybe a week ago.
Wait, Lisa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, are you coming back? And she was like, no. Like, I'm working on my dog things, and I'm working on, like, Vanderpump Rules. And I was like, but are you coming back? She was like, let's go for dinner sometime. I was like, okay.
It's too soon. Give her another
year. Too soon to
maybe
ask,
she'll
I feel like.
Think about it. You know who I think really added some spice to The Real Housewives of OC was Kelly Dodd.
Oh, yeah.
She's just, like, when she came in, you were kind of like, this girl's not like the other girls. Like, there was something different about her. She just has no filter with their dynamic. But she has added so much to that show that I really feel like it would be boring-ish without her.
Yeah.
You know, we need her. The one person that I feel like maybe wasn't the best addition was Lydia from Real Housewives of OC. And not because I didn't like her, because she was just so nice. Mm. I mean, she's literally the friendliest person ever. She didn't like fighting. I felt like she was out of her comfort zone on that show.
Somebody who doesn't like fighting going on a Real Housewives show is not good.
Right?
You're right.
And so I felt like when she was off, I'm like, this has to be better for your life to just not have to be on this show anymore.
I wouldn't be good on that show.
There was also this really big Housewives announcement.
Really good. You're conniving.
You think
she
would?
Yeah, she's very calculated.
Ooh.
Very calculated.
You think I'm calculating?
Ooh, 100%.
See, I don't. I think she wears her heart on her sleeve, and you can tell where it's going, like, in 2 seconds.
That's the ones that you have to watch out for.
You just think I'm calculating because I have the balls to stand up to you.
Oh! Mm-mm. Nice!
I've seen the act. Oh, my God, can I get a tea? And then the camera goes off, and it's a whole different person.
You too. Okay, well, maybe we can get a Real Housewives of Daily Pop, because there was this big announcement out of BravoCon that the show is going to be headed to Salt Lake City.
Can't
wait for
this.
It's going to be the 10th franchise. So now that we've got everything from New York City to Atlanta to Beverly Hills to now Salt Lake City, what other city does Bravo need to add to their roster?
Mexico City, I really want. I've been spending a ton of time in Mexico recently. I got back from Guadalajara, guys, at 1 a.m. this morning. So I'm just so exhausted, but I'd love to see Mexico City. And also, like, Alaska.
Oh.
I'd actually quite just something where I'm also going to learn a little bit. I feel like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, we're going to learn a lot about the Mormon Church. We're going to learn about just different dynamics, right?
And how people
That's what I want.
That is true. I don't... Gosh, guys, I don't know much about Alaska.
There's not much to know.
I don't know much about what's happening there. That's a good one.
I've been there twice to cover Sarah Palin's daughter's engagement years ago, but I just felt like it would be fascinating.
I know they've looked into Miami before. Have they ever done a Miami?
They've done Miami. They've done it twice. But for some reason, it never works. I think it's just bad timing when they go for Miami.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
I think they should do is kind of sort of have the same cities, just with a new group of friends. So the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, OGs, and then have a season where it's like the new school people. Same with Atlanta, same with New York.
And they run at the same time?
And they run at different times.
Oh, different times,
like,
okay.
The first set of groups go for one season, and then the next season we have the new
OGs
people.
Will not like that.
I just think it would be great.
Don't you? Kyle Richards would be like, are you kidding me?
She'd be like, great, give me a break.
Let's bear in mind, there is like significant evidence that that a lot of women now are not getting married. So why not have a non-married, like where you're like single girls of Beverly Hills?
Well, most of them are single. I don't know why they even call it housewives anymore.
It's like basketball wives. Yeah. No one's married to anyone.
Nobody's
in the league.
All right, well, we'll see. But Salt Lake City sounds kind of interesting. That's definitely going to be.
I think so too.
Eye-opening. Okay, moving on to Jon Hamm and Lindsay Shookus. These two have reignited romance rumors after they were spotted out at Saturday Night Live after party. So Lindsay, of course, as you know, is a producer on the show. And a source tells Us Weekly, Jon and Lindsay were affectionate, but no PDA.
This quote made no sense. It said they touched one another, but there was no PDA. What do they think PDA stands for?
So this is
public displays of affection. Like, this would be a public display of affection.
I would not consider that a public display of affection.
Okay. Same.
Not a romantic one, then.
Interesting. And another source claims that the two acted amicable.
Mm.
So, I don't know. But the thing is, we are seeing them together quite a few times. So a few months ago, they were seen at opening night of a play in Broadway. What do you guys think? Do you think these two are on to being in a relationship?
I'll just say, the Saturday Night Also sighting is them with Lorne Michaels. Like, they're also there with other people at the table, and he's just been on the show. This is obviously what happens afterwards. You go to the party, or you have a dinner, like, with the people that you've just been, who have just produced you.
Yeah, but we kind of said that about Ben Affleck whenever it first started, too. Mm-hmm. We were like, well, he was probably just in town for the show and was meeting with a bunch of people, and then the next thing you knew it, they were, like, a hot and heavy item.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You know, when you date someone who's sober, or if you're a sober person, you kind of sort of want to date somebody who understands the experience, mm-hmm. who understands what you're going through, understands the restrictions. And I think a lot of times, other sober, like celebrities, as Jon Hamm, knows that Lindsay's been through it with Ben. I will say, it reminds me of a lot of my friends who date, who are trans or of trans experience. They often date the same kind of guys because they don't have to explain themselves.
Yeah.
There's no judgment there. There's a feeling of comfort. I will say, however, though, I feel like Lindsay Shookus is a lot like us in the sense that a lot of women, I think they can save people or they can fix a wounded bird. I have a lot of friends who love a wounded bird.
But do they know that about themselves? I feel like I have friends that do that too, but they don't realize that about themselves. It just seems to be a pattern that they keep doing.
But what is it?
I think it's just like they have a lot of love. Like, they have a lot of love to give, and they feel for people. They have a lot of empathy, and they really feel like they're the strong support system, and they're able to provide that maybe other people can't. They feel like that's a strength of theirs. Mm. I think, like, with my friend, she feels like she's the rock. Like, she can be a rock for somebody, and she's comfortable being that person, and she likes feeling needed.
But to the detriment of herself? Because I feel like a lot of times people, and I'm not saying this about Lindsay Shookus, but a lot of times, a lot of women, and I don't know why it happens with women mostly, what happens is their needs take a backseat because they want to be seen as a savior for this person. It's almost like a savior complex. Like,
that's,
oh, I'm the person
thing.
Who saved.
Guys, why are we presuming that Jon Hamm is a wounded bird?
No, and I said wounded bird. I don't think Jon Hamm is a wounded bird, but I think to some people, I think she might think she can get in there and save him.
I mean, guys, Jon Hamm is gorgeous, sexy, and like...
You can be sexy and wounded.
I agree. I think...
Brad Pitt is sexy and wounded.
Brad Pitt is... No, he's got...
Brad Pitt is sexy and wounded.
Not anymore. I don't think Brad Pitt's
Most
wounded
of the best
anymore.
People are a little wounded, right? Most of all of us are a little wounded in some way.
No, I don't think wounded is a bad word to say. I think just sometimes when you have some scars, like, you know, you could be sexy and wounded. You could be rich and wounded.
You're right.
You could be a billionaire and not have it all the way together.
All right, guys, coming up, let us know your thoughts on our top stories. Hit us up with hashtag DailyPop Plus. Oh, man, Prince Andrew opens up about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. This interview, was it just a huge mistake? We'll discuss after the break.
Can you be British and wounded? Yes,
I
know it.
Calculating?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's get to Prince Andrew's new interview. He talked about his ties with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein over the weekend on BBC Newsnight, and the reaction has been swift and harsh. The interview was nearly 50 minutes long, and throughout it, the prince strongly rejected allegations of sexual misconduct. He attempted to clarify his relationship with Epstein and explained why he stayed at his home. Watch.
It was a convenient place to stay. I admit fully that my judgment was probably colored by my tendency to be too honorable, but that's just the way it is.
One of Epstein's accusers, Virginia Roberts, yeah, has made allegations against you. She says she met you in 2001. She says she dined with you, danced with you at Tramp nightclub in London. She went on to have sex with you in a house in Belgravia belonging to Ghislaine Maxwell, your friend. Your response?
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady. None whatsoever.
You don't remember meeting her?
No.
Epstein died in jail last August as he faced sex trafficking charges. As for this interview, one royal commentator said, I expected a train wreck. That was a plane crashing into an oil tanker, causing a tsunami, triggering a nuclear explosion level bad. So, was not well received. Was this interview a mistake?
Colossal.
Huge.
Mistake. So I watched the whole thing on Saturday night, and I honestly, it was cringe-worthy. There were so many parts of it that were, you just couldn't believe that he was answering this. Look, his PR manager, Prince Andrews, quit 2 weeks before because he said he did not think that this interview should go ahead.
Wow.
This interview was actually led to way more questions than answers.
Yeah.
There's been transatlantic condemnation of this. It has backfired in such a massive way. And I think now the only thing that Prince Andrew can do is come to America and do an interview with the FBI and actually like answer some of these questions in a legal setting.
He won't, right? Because
he says that he will. What he is asked in the interview if he would consider doing that, and he says he will. But I don't know how else for him to get out of this PR nightmare.
I think he should have stuck with what the royals were doing, and that was firing out Meghan and Harry stories to make this one go away.
The problem is that this has been a big story for 3 months, except no one's really been focusing on it. And nothing has changed in the past few months as far as, like, you know, Virginia is taking her action, and we've known about that. But it's just the fact that we are now hearing his side, and it just, there are too many questions. You know, he's friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein admits that he's a sex offender. 4 years later, after not speaking to him, you stay at his house in order to break up the friendship.
And you
for
said to
four days.
This wasn't a retreat.
It's the only place. It was a convenient place to stay. What? You're in the royal family. What? You can pay for a hotel. It's so crazy.
Yeah, but you stayed at a friend's house for 4 days.
And it's like, do you regret your friendship with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, no, because actually it was really convenient. He got me lots of connections. You do not regret your friendship with a convicted sex crime?
Well, he
criminal?
Said in the interview, on top
terrible.
Of it being convenient, he said, oh, I went over to Jeffrey's to let him know that it's inappropriate for us to be seen together.
Yes.
Not for us to be friends. Not for me to be friends with a convicted sex offender.
And then stayed for 4 days during that breakup with a friend.
Did he not have money?
And was the head guest at a dinner party. I mean, this is just absolute. That's what I mean by more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Is that we've now learned so much more about his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. And now we have so many more questions.
But here's also the problem, because let me tell you what people honestly do when they are in a PR nightmare. Whether or not there is a criminal investigation coming up, What you always say is, I cannot answer these questions at this time because there is a criminal investigation pending. That will get you out of all of the hoopla quickly. Now that he's opened up to the BBC, every news outlet is gonna want a piece of him. Everybody is gonna want to report on this. Everyone's gonna take his words and they're gonna be spread all over for the next few days. And the more and more this case goes, if it goes to trial, if it gets to the next level in a court system, they're always gonna refer back to this. I think in his mind, he thought he could trust the BBC. But who's going to sit down for 50 minutes?
I thought she did a great job.
I thought she did an amazing job.
Exceptional job. I just feel very sorry for the Queen, right? The Queen is waking up today and has Harry doing interviews, talking, admitting his feud with William. She's got her second son now, like, being like a laughing stock. They're calling him the Prince of Porkies on the papers, which is porky pies, which is lies. You know, he's just been, he's become a joke.
I'm glad you explained that because I wouldn't have got that.
I think she loved when Harry said what he said about William. I think the royal press secretly loved it because Melanie, what happens in a camp? Let me tell you what happens in Hollywood. Let me tell you what happens in Hollywood.
Queen.
What happens is when you have a huge celebrity on your roster, whether you're a man or you're a publicist, and something big is about to come out about this person, what you do is you sell the lesser celebrity out and you give a scandal on them to save the big one. So what was happening in that whole press corps was, hey, we're going to let this Harry and Meghan thing come out so nobody will talk about a sex offender in the royal family.
I don't think this story was postponed maybe, but it was never going to go away. Until, you know, there were some answers out there. And I will say, like, a lot of people are saying, like, well, he shouldn't have done the interview at all. But I'm kind of, I'm glad he did.
He was trying to do
the interview.
He showed
his colors.
Because that's all anybody wanted to know about. And he wanted to actually talk about his causes. The problem is now, like, there's a university that he's the head of or on the board of. And they now want his face off it. There's a pub called the Duke of York Pub. They want his face taken from the sign of this pub. Like, what's now happened is people are now, like, all of his things that were already established are now being questioned whether he should have that power.
Yeah.
And whether he should retire from royal life, which is something that's being questioned.
Wow, I need to commit.
A lot of people I read about pushing for that. Like, just get out of there.
It's a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Okay, still ahead. Kim and Kanye are both changing and growing as individuals, but how do you make sure your marriage evolves as well? That discussion just ahead. Drama!
I know that God's been calling me for a long time, and the devil's been distracting me for a long time. All of that arrogance and confidence and cockiness that y'all seen me use before God is now using for him. You start to feel like Satan is the most powerful. And you start to feel like if you service God, that in life, it means you will not prosper. And the only way to prosper, and now the trend, the shift is going to change. Now I told you about my arrogance and cockiness already. Now, the greatest artist that God has ever created is now working for him.
That's just a little bit of Kanye's speech at Lakewood Church in Texas. You know, this isn't the first time he's called himself the greatest artist that's ever existed, but this is the first time I've heard him say the greatest artist that God has ever created.
What do you guys think? You know, sometimes you have to tell yourself that because if you don't believe it, how will you make executives believe it or you know, fans? Like, sometimes you just gotta have that confidence.
That's true.
I think he's joking. That's what he just said. He was just talking about, like, using how he has a big ego and how he... It's all part of the showmanship, and it's actually all part of the charisma. And, yes, it kind of... If you were to read that on paper, you'd be like, oh, well, he's got such a big head. But he's actually, like... I think he does, but we all know that Kanye has doubted himself in the past. He's been very honest about that. But right now, it's part of his...
Almost making a joke of his ego in the past.
Yes.
All right, well, Kanye talked a lot about the transformation he's been going through. And we've also seen Kim change a lot as well as she focuses on prison reform and becoming a lawyer. So they're both doing these big transformations. But how do you make that work whenever you're married and you're both kind of on your, like, these Like, he's really going into religion, and she's really going into law school. I mean, and not that they're on totally different paths, because, she does go to church with him, and I'm sure he's very supportive of her law career, but they're very focused on two different things. How do you keep that together? Does that make sense? Not lose each other?
You know, I think for a couple who may be going through something similar, I think part of making it work is not only being aware that you're on a journey, but also being aware that your partner is not on the same journey as you.
It takes a lot. Remember that fight between Kim and Kanye?
On Keeping Up With the Kardashians. Yes, when they were at the Met.
Yeah, and
he was
criticizing her Met Gala outfit, and she was like, look, I know you're on a journey, but I'm not.
Yeah, but listen, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you've been with them for 7 years and they have not gone through even a mini transformation or grew or evolved a little bit, that's when you need to be a little bit afraid. If you yourself are in a relationship and you've been the same person from 2012 until 2019, you need to be like, what the hell am I doing? I think every relationship has to evolve and has to grow. And part of evolving in a relationship is evolving by yourself.
I don't think they're on different journeys. I think they're on the same journey, right? They're both using their celebrity in order to make a difference in a bigger way. Mm. And hers as far as prison reform and criminal reform, and his is in, like, spreading a positive message. So they're actually doing the same thing. It's just they have different outlets.
Well, somebody should tell him that, because he was very upset when she was doing her thing at the Met. And she said, verbatim, just because you're on this journey doesn't mean I have to be on this journey, too.
I know they have that clothing thing, but at the moment, as far as, like, her doing her law stuff, they are both working on something that isn't just about them.
Yeah. I think it's a really important to include each other in what you're doing.
Well, she was there with him yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that they're doing a good job of that. And I know that he has joined her as well in some of her situation, her visits and stuff. So I think it's important not to have to close your partner out. You know, whenever you're going on this transformation, like, even if they don't want to be fully on board with you, they're not fully into whatever you're into at the moment, because they don't have to be. You can't expect them to be, but as long as you feel supported by them and you invite them to be a part of it, then I think that's important. Because what could happen is you can get so caught up in what you're doing and so caught up in your own transformation that you forget about your spouse, or you put them on the back burner, and then that person's going to feel like this new goal of yours is more important than me. And you don't want that.
But that's a growing pain. That's a growing pain of figuring out where your transformation and your spouse meet. And that's what happened on Keeping Up with the Kardashians at the Met. It's because they hadn't fully met yet. They were trying to work out the kinks and the bumps.
Well, because we know Kanye goes full throttle, right? So I bet there's times where Kim has to be like, hello, let's remind, like, I'm your number one priority. Yes, this project's going to be great, but, like, hello, I'm first.
But even in his transformation, remember those years where it seemed like what Kanye said kind of sort of went? Like, Kanye likes me to wear this, so I'm going to wear this. Kanye kind of likes this, so I'm going to do this. She's almost finding her voice in her marriage through his transformation, which is so interesting. But have you ever been friends with somebody or dated somebody that went through a religious awakening? Mm-hmm. It's like the first 6 months or the first 8 months, they're trying to, like, shove Jesus down your throat so hard, and they get judgy, and they go through, like, oh, I can't be around you because you're not part of this. And then all of a sudden, you just, like, slowly they come back to reality. They know how to, like, balance it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It must be hard to date someone or be married to someone who's going through this religious thing, and you're not there. It's tough.
I do think that Kim is religious enough to understand where Kanye's going through, because, I mean, I do know she has, like, a strong relationship with God. All the Kardashians do. They've always been very important. Church has always been very important to them. But I do know what you're saying, and I've been in that 100% situation, and it didn't work out for us. But not to say that some people can, you know, make it through that. For sure. Just eventually have, you just can't, like, box your partner out for what you want to do. You have to keep them a part of it. Okay, up next, John Gosselin calls his ex Kate a narcissist. Did fame change her? That debate is next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
She's narcissistic, you're saying. You're passive aggressive. Those things don't tend to go together well. Were you already having issues?
I didn't really notice those personality disorders till after filming. Fame and money. And I think fame's worse than money. Fame's different only because fame, things are given to you. You're held to a higher standard. You're put on a pedestal. It's like almost like a drug, you know, like an addiction. And, you know, once you have that and that lifestyle, you can see certain tendencies in people. It feeds.
Wow, that's John Gosselin on Dr. Oz blaming fame for changing his ex, Kate. So it's been 10 years since the parents of eight split. And we should add the gag order on their divorce has been lifted.
Obviously.
Yeah, because you couldn't tell. Do you believe him? Did fame ruin Kate?
You know, I remember reporting on this split when it happened, and they actually split because he had a dalliance with somebody at a local bar and basically cheated on her. So that's why they split. But I would say that fame changes a lot of people for the worse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have a whole E! True Hollywood story about this that you guys can watch. Fame 100% is an addiction, and it can definitely change people. It definitely brings, there is a lot of things that are given to you, and it become kind of get this false sense of ego sometimes. I wouldn't necessarily pinpoint that fame changed Kate specifically in this relationship. I think these two were like oil and water after a while. They just did, I think in the beginning it sounded good, it was all great, but something happened. Maybe it was the cheating, maybe it was something else, but they just were arch enemies for the longest time. And so I can't blame everything on one party.
Yeah, you know, I think having eight kids at one time changes people. And I think certain times when you're with a partner and he's not pulling his weight and you go into fight or flight mode, I think, yeah, having these TV cameras around is showing you that you can take care of your kids. You can put them in school. You can bus them there. You can feed them. If John had such an issue with fame and Kate being on TV, I would say, listen, if you are willing and able to support these eight kids without these cameras, let's have this conversation. I have a friend who is, excuse me, a stripper. I'm putting out your business on TV. I have a friend who was a stripper for a very long time who had two children. And her baby daddy kept on saying, you need to get off the pole, you need to get off the pole. And she would say, if you're willing to help me with these kids and put food on this table, I will do it, but I have to do this for money. Well, damn, he called her bluff. And then she had to get off the pole because he was paying for private school. He was, you know, contributing. I just don't think that John Gosling has been able to make a living to support eight children and to feed eight mouths and to give them the life that Kate saw that reality TV gave them.
That's the thing. They were a happily married couple when they signed up with TLC to do the show initially. Yes, and
in the very
they were
beginning.
A together married couple at the beginning before they
in the first two episodes.
You gotta remember but way back.
No, it was like they did a few seasons before. And so he made that decision at that time as well. If he didn't want it, don't do it. Like, he's partially responsible
for
this.
Oh, totally. And he also continued to talk to the press for years after they broke up. So it's not like he didn't have his own addiction to fame. And I hope that he admitted that a little bit in the interview, too. Okay, let's read some of your guys' thoughts on our story so far. Lindsay Shookus and John Hamm. Cindy says, it's called being codependent, choosing the same type of person, a person who needs fixing.
Yes.
On Prince Andrew's interview, Juice says, I have no recollection as the new, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I love that she put the photo up. She was like, so you don't recall taking this photo.
And Internames says, the queen is probably so annoyed with everybody at this point.
I mean,
she absolutely loves her family, but she's probably very annoyed.
She needs a gin and tonic.
Make her one stat. Okay, coming up, Tom Hanks makes another big screen transformation. His wife, Rita, tells us what it was like watching him become Mr. Rogers when Daily Pop continues.
I've been through lots of transformations, and Mr. Rogers was one of the nicer ones. You know, we've been through skinny, we've been through fat,
we've been through fat.
Facial hair, we've been through all sorts of things. I think bald is coming up next, but it was good.
Her version, she never really saw me in the full Batman outfit of the red sweater. And she saw a guy coming home in sweatpants after a long day.
They are so cute. That's Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson at the premiere of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, mm-hmm. talking about the physical toll of acting. Could you guys live with someone who goes through these physical transformations to get into character? I mean, and throughout your whole relationship with them, they're constantly putting on weight, losing weight, changing their hair.
I'm gonna need the studio to run me a check while I'm going through this, because I know what it feels like when I'm hungry. I know how angry I get to sort of be with somebody for that long while they go through it. Like, when I think about what Camila Alves had to go through with Matthew McConaughey, that would scare me, because I know how unhealthy that is. So to watch my husband kind of go to that lens, like, I swear I would support my husband through no matter what, but I would only have one or two in me. Like, you can't be doing this every movie role.
I know. Camila is a super healthy eater, and they're a very active couple, so that's tough to be, like, putting on all that weight. What was that movie? Gold? Something about Gold.
Dallas Buyers Club.
No, that was where he got really skinny, right?
Dallas Buyers Club was when he was super skinny.
And then what was the one he put on weight? Was the Gold one. I don't remember. Anywho. But, yeah, I think it would be tough, because it does have an effect on you, because you either, like, you're either, like, trying to be your normal healthy self, and they're over there eating In-N-Out every day and Taco Bell.
I'd be so jealous.
And you're like, okay, you're going to need to hide that pizza from me, because I can't eat like you every day.
But do you think it would be harder to go through with somebody who was gaining weight or losing an intense amount of weight?
I think gaining weight, because I don't want to gain weight. And so watching someone else get to eat whatever they want and splurge and all that is too tempting for me. If they're losing weight, then I'm like, okay, I guess I'll jump on this bandwagon too. We're just going to be super healthy at home.
So if your husband was eating packing peanuts and an apple every day with a saltine just in case he passed out, you would be more okay with that?
Well, I wouldn't let him just eat that. I would say eat a chicken breast and some spinach and some broccoli. And you can still be healthy and lose a lot of weight. What? Yeah. Which one would you prefer?
Oh, I'd be fine regardless. If it's the person I love, it doesn't matter, right? It's their work.
It's their work.
She dates men who live out of the country, so she doesn't have to stay with them all the time.
She doesn't have to see that.
Yeah, she has a system.
Well, you guys can check out Tom's transformation and do Mr. Rogers when A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood hits theaters Friday. I cannot wait for that. It's like such a feel-good movie, it looks like. Okay, there were a bunch of events that happened over the weekend with a bunch of stars in awesome fashion, so time to do a roundup. First, we have Beyonce. She showed some leg in Roberto Cavalli gown. Oh my God, I love this so much.
I love this too.
I love this.
She can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. It's just so, like, the level of fashion equates her level of fame.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I'm obsessed with this. I love the feathers. I love the gown. I love the fit. I love the shoe. I love the whole thing.
Yeah.
Not one negative thing to say. Beyonce's curves were on full display in a David Coma gown.
This is my favorite one. I was saving my reaction for this one. I love a liquid latex moment when something seems like it's been sprayed on you.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just like the craftsmanship in the gown.
It's got that corset look, and it's very beautiful. I still think the first one's better, but
that's your opinion.
Very pretty too.
I pick this one over the first one.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I pick the feathers. Not everybody gets to wear feathers.
Melanie's a thought like me, secretly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at the Trevor Live Gala, we had Heidi Klum.
Oh,
she wore a
gorgeous
fringe dress by Julia McDonald.
This is gorgeous because her hair is also part of the fringe as well. It's all like the same thing. She looks fantastic.
I love this too. It's like a very good dancing dress. It's fun, it's flirty, it's sexy. I like it.
You can only wear this if you're skinny.
Yeah, and she never hits it every time out of the park for me. Some of her fashion choices are a little too wild, but I like this for her. I like this for me. I would personally wear something like this. She looks beautiful.
It's sexy. It's because it's see-through in the parts that
aren't finished.
Cute. Okay, Zazie Beetz was there.
living for this.
Gold Redarte.
It's a Melanie moment.
It is. I actually have a skirt that I've worn on air like this. It's gorgeous. I don't know if it's lamé or leather, but it looks fantastic.
It's lamé. And what I love about that lamé look is that she knows that the dress is extra. So what she did was she kept the makeup, she kept the earrings, she kept all the jewelry really simple, no bag needed. She just knew that the dress had to do the talking.
It looks like an art piece, honestly. It's like this is one of those fashions that you would see in a museum later. You know, it's just...
She's a goddess.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, up next, a new museum is hoping to break down stigmas about women's bodies. We're discussing
the any part of
vagina museum.
She really wants to talk about
next.
The vagina.
The first ever vagina museum opened in London this weekend. The museum's first exhibit is called Muff Busters, Vagina Myths and How to Fight Them. The goal is to erase taboos and educate the public. The museum hopes to clear up misconceptions around cleanliness, appearance, periods, sex, and contraception. Now, Melanie is very excited about this. She's been talking about it for days now. Tell us, why do you think this vagina museum is so fascinating?
So the reason that this has been started is because there was a penis museum in Iceland, and they felt that it was time that you kind of like start talking about vaginas more frequently and with less of a kind of embarrassment around it. So I've been looking at some of the things you can do at the vagina museum. Mm. There's a crochet masterclass where you can learn how to crochet a vulva. There are art classes and various things, but it's really all about taking away the taboo, making like this body part that we never talk about, making it more like common and like, you know, easier to discuss, and also encouraging people to go and get smears and cervical cancer checks. So it's all about women empowerment and women's health. So I think it's amazing. And I'm going to London in 2 weeks and I am going.
Are there guided tours for those of us who don't know our way around?
Yes.
Vagina Museum?
Yes, there are. There are tours you can go on around this and they'll teach you all about it.
Yes. Seems like it would be a, you know, kind of a rough throw in
right.
for me. You know what
yeah,
I mean? That's a jolt.
Yeah, you gotta take in a lot of information at one time.
Yeah.
I do agree. I think there are a lot of myths, and I do think there is like a lot of taboo topics about this. I mean, if I ever learn how to crochet, I don't know what the first thing I want to crochet is a vulva.
No, I don't know either.
Maybe break it.
Melanie's super excited about it.
Either way, it sounds like a really cool idea. And yeah, and if there's a penis museum, then well, hell.
I would go to a penis museum.
I don't want to look at that either. Half of them are ugly.
I know. What's all in the penis museum? We need to learn more about this penis museum.
I don't know. It's in Iceland. But I love that the vagina museum is in England because people think we're so prim and proper and we're not.
Oh, I know you're wild and crazy. I've worked at you for 2.5 years.
It's just about education.
It is.
I've seen how wild they get.
Check that out, you guys, in England. You guys have some suggestions about where the Real Housewives should go next. So Colleen says, how about the Real Housewives of Nashville?
I would love that.
This town's a wealthy, hot mess, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea, too. I know that there's been some sorts of shows over the years that have been similar to that, but not a Real Housewives franchise.
But what happens in country music kind of always stays in country music.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of hard because a lot of Nashville is centered around the music.
And they're all like friends and they don't really talk a whole lot of shit about each other.
They do. They just keep it real secret.
They like talk shit about each other openly on camera is what I mean. Like, would they really ever do that? I don't know how many would actually do that. But who knows? They might be there. Okay, Lisa says they should do a Real Housewives of Chicago. If they do Alaska, they must have Sarah Palin.
Yeah, they must have somebody from that family.
Yeah. And on whether fame changed Kate Gosselin, Robin says, all I remember from John and Kate plus 8 is Kate constantly putting John down. Nothing he did was right in her eyes.
Amen. So I don't understand why y'all thought Kate and John had this bomb-ass marriage.
I don't think they had a bomb-ass marriage. I think there were moments where it was good in the beginning.
Kate is
Maybe
bitch.
I have to watch
great
episodes.
I love one. Like, it's just who she is. Reality TV just, like, literally amplifies it.
It does magnify
personality. She speeds it up. She was going to be this person in 10 years, 15 years. She just got it in 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll be right back with more Daily Pop, you guys. Stay with us. Keep your tweets
John
coming.
And Kate hashtag Daily Pop.
So true.
Jennifer Lopez is the icon of the year, according to GQ magazine. She is one of their Men of the Year Men of the Year covers, alongside Tyler the Creator and Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Very cool. This is She's had a huge year, right?
Darling, she's on Oscar campaign right now, even though nothing's been announced yet.
She's everywhere.
She's everywhere, and rightly so.
Everywhere.
Yeah. What do you think's the top accomplishment so far?
I just think being her and being 50 and, like, breaking down the stigma of a woman of a certain age.
Just that's killing it. We love you, J-Lo. All right, that's our time. Tomorrow we've got Teresa Giudice joining us live. We have lots of questions for her, so stick around. See you tomorrow.
That's a big interview.
Huge.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.